Very Merry Mischief, A Pride and Prejudice Novella. Chapter 2. The dinner bell woke Elizabeth, and she panicked for a moment, trying to remember her whereabouts. The ring was unfamiliar, and her face, moist from falling asleep after her cry. A fresh water basin rested nearby, and she gratefully used the warm water to freshen her cheeks. A gown lay upon the bed, but she worried that she would be holding up dinner. Why hadn't she heard the maid enter? Rubbing her temples, Elizabeth decided her appearance did not matter. Being the spinster sister, it might help her feelings if she dressed the part. Checking the maroon frock she traveled in, she frowned at the skirt's somewhat wrinkled state from her fretful nap. Smoothing her hair as best she could, she grabbed a few pins from the dressing table to wrangle the curls that had escaped during her respite. Opening her door, she nearly ran into Georgiana, stunning in a pale rose silk gown. "Miss Elizabeth, you have not changed." Georgiana frowned, worrying about the young woman she so admired from last summer's brief visit. "Oh, I overrested, I'm afraid, and I do not wish to hold dinner." Elizabeth started walking away, but Miss Darcy's gloved hand touched her arm, causing her to pause. The young woman clucked her tongue like a practiced matron of London society and barked orders to her maid, who was still standing in Georgiana's doorway. Before Elizabeth knew what was happening, she was ushered back into her room. In a matter of minutes, she was undressed, redressed, and borrowing jewelry from Miss Darcy. "No, please, I must not impose thus upon my hostess in good conscience. This is too much." Georgiana leaned over Elizabeth's shoulder so both of their faces could be seen in the looking glass. "Nonsense. William will love the way you look tonight." The young girl gave a warm smile and began humming. As the door opened, the pair spied Miss Bingley coming from the guest wing. "See," Georgiana whispered, "no harm done." Elizabeth shrugged and wondered about the protocol. Should she and Georgiana wait for Miss Bingley? But three women walking at once was ridiculous. Miss Darcy made the decision for them as she led Elizabeth down the stairs. Mr. Darcy, Anne, and the Bingleys awaited below. Mr. Darcy caught his sister's hand when she landed and pecked her cheek. "You are more stunning every day, Georgiana. Mother would be so proud." Georgiana gave a pleased nod and offered for her brother to escort Miss Elizabeth into the dining room. Elizabeth blushed profusely, and Mr. Darcy donned a mask of indifference with great difficulty. The mere suggestion embarrassed the woman who wanted nothing to do with him, though she stood there more beautiful than ever in an evergreen silk dress with emerald earrings. "You two can follow the Bingleys with Anne. Here comes Miss Bingley." And it would not do for her to walk unescorted. Confused that Mr. Darcy would not escort his own wife, Elizabeth followed Anne and Georgiana into the dining room after giving Mr. Darcy a brief curtsy. Georgiana looked to Anne, who returned the sentiment, and Elizabeth was escorted to sit next to the master's chair with Georgiana on her right. Anne took the other seat at the head of the table. "Miss Bennet, I did miss you in the music room this afternoon. I hoped we might start on the duets." Mr. Darcy entered, escorting Miss Bingley with no choice but to seat her next to him on the other side. The Bingleys sat next to each other, against the rules of decorum, but no one challenged them. Elizabeth's eyes tracked Mr. Darcy's movements before she shook her head. "I was most tired after our travels, I fear, and had not intended to rest for such a time. Please forgive me, and perhaps after dinner we might begin." "Dear Georgiana and I had such a lovely time playing the pianoforte. Miss Bennet, 'twas a shame you were absent." Caroline flashed a brilliant smile to Mr. Darcy, who was taken aback by the woman's bold attentions. When he escorted her in, she had squeezed his arm in a most unsettling manner. The first course arrived, and Charles and Jane abandoned their private whispers. Before any could take a bite, Charles stood, grinning ear to ear. "It is my pleasure to announce that Mrs. Bingley and I are expecting our first child come late spring. Hear, hear, to a healthy babe and mother." Darcy raised his glass and the whole table made a toast, though out of the corner of her eye, Elizabeth noticed that Anne sighed. For a moment she felt sympathy for the sickly woman who might be disappointed to be unable to make a similar announcement with Mr. Darcy. Instead, Elizabeth focused on Jane. "Now I no longer need feign ignorance," she said, with a minxish smile. Caroline frowned as the sisters shared a tender moment, and both Darcy and Bingley appeared taken with the Bennet sisters. Narrowing her eyes, Caroline noticed the earrings on Elizabeth were well above her station as a poor relation, certain they must be alone. Miss Darcy, you are so charitable to loan your exquisite jewelry to Miss Eliza. Pray, if you need any other accessories during our visit, I am also most happy to help you, sister. Caroline swirled the wine in her glass as she made her own sham offer of charity. Elizabeth's hand flew to the large earring on her right ear, and her cheeks burned. Why would she expect this visit to be any different from the daily barbs she endured at Netherfield? The gentlemen at the table returned to their meals, and Anne broke the silence. Miss Bingley, I hope you do not mind that I took the liberty of seeing you placed, overlooking the East Garden. How do you find the view? I wondered about the new accommodations, Caroline answered with authority and a snide glance at Elizabeth, who was studying her meal and ignoring the exchange, much to Caroline's dismay. It is a lovely room. I am pleased, Anne smiled. Mrs. Reynolds informed me it might be best to move you to the end of the hall, so your snoring won't be a bother to the other guests. Caroline dropped her spoon as the men started to cough, and Georgiana openly giggled. Caroline stared daggers at Anne, but the pale, dark-haired woman produced the best impression of her mother's impenetrable gaze. I also find my room to be lovely, Mrs. Darcy. Thank you for accommodating me on such short notice, Elizabeth added, hoping to further Caroline's discomfort. But instead, the entire table froze. Miss Elizabeth, I am not Mrs. Darcy. I am Mrs. Fitzwilliam, Anne said quietly. But, Elizabeth looked between Anne and Mr. Darcy at either end of the table, seeing amusement on Anne's face and abject horror on Darcy's. Her faux pas stirred the tickle one feels before a torrent of frustrated tears pour. And with a slight squeak to her voice, Elizabeth excused herself from the table. The gentleman leapt to stand as Elizabeth quitted the room as fast as she was able. Jane excused herself to follow Elizabeth. As she left the room, Caroline began to ask how the colonel fared. Finding Elizabeth sitting on the stairs, Jane rushed to hug her sister. I am such a fool, she cried, gripping her hair in her hands, pulling the tresses from their pins. Shh, Jane urged Elizabeth up and escorted her back to her room, with Elizabeth repeating again and again how foolish were her actions. Once the door closed, Jane asked Elizabeth to explain.
Because I thought he loved me.
I thought his aunt convinced him to not marry below his station and to marry his cousin, and that was why he stayed away. I am such a fool. Elizabeth stamped her foot as angry tears still fell. She waited for Jane to say something, but her sister remained quiet. After a few moments, Elizabeth took a deep breath and collected herself.
I'm sorry, Jane. I have no right to expectations. I should have shed these hopes long ago.
Perhaps, but perhaps there is a reason why Mr. Darcy stayed away. He may still have feelings for you. All is not lost. Jane shifted her weight from foot to foot, worried about betraying the confidences of Mr. Bingley while comforting her sister. No, he could not still hold any regard if he never came back, and he never came back, Jane. Her voice trembled on the last sentence, but she inhaled through her nose, beginning to sound congested, and restored her control. I will wash my face and return to the drawing room for duets with Georgiana. If he can treat me with indifference, then so can I treat him. I will conquer this.
Jane felt a great deal of sympathy, but she didn't wish to tell her all that she knew from Charles.
Besides, if Mr. Darcy was as stubborn as her sister, it would do no good for anyone to tell them they were helplessly in love with one another. I hope you will still be kind to Mr. Darcy. He is our host. Elizabeth bit her lip. She wanted to say she hated the man for abandoning her hopes, and then remembered the pain she must have inflicted on him when she rejected him. The irony of the situation caught her by surprise, and she swallowed her pride. Of course, I shall offer him all the respect he is due. Jane nodded, pleased. With any luck, you might become friends again. Elizabeth shook her head at her sister's optimism, but merely shrugged her shoulders after Jane crossed her arms in front of her chest. Deciding to change the subject, Elizabeth's eyes rested on Jane's midsection. So the babe finally moved? Jane smiled and nodded. Elizabeth rushed forward to touch Jane's belly with her hands. The older sister gladly allowed the touch, as she and Elizabeth had been awaiting this almost as long as she and Charles had anticipated the event. Leaning down, Elizabeth spoke into Jane's midsection. You stay safe in there, Bingers, and no matter if you are a girl or a boy, Aunt Lizzie will teach you to climb trees when you're older. Jane playfully swatted at her sister, happy to see Elizabeth's dark mood did not linger.
Please go back and tell them I am composed. I just can't think to eat at this moment. I will find my sheet music and return as soon as I may."
Jane gave her sister another hug, both in celebration of the baby and in comfort. As she walked down the hall to return to dinner, she tried to think of how she could find time to speak with Charles alone, but came up short. This merry mischief of matchmaking was harder than she thought. Cigar smoke wafted in the air as Darcy and Bingley relaxed after dinner in the study. As the two men puffed, both felt very differently about their responsibilities in life. Bingley sat energized, marveling at the possibilities of a new life. Darcy smoked with a cloud of gloom hanging over him as he analyzed Elizabeth's outburst at dinner. Neither man started a discussion about the theatrics.
"I say, when is Richard due back? They declared peace 6 months ago."
"Indeed, we've had a letter some months ago. Wellington placed him in charge of the last battalion. Your guess as to his arrival is as good as mine." Darcy frowned and looked at the tip of his cigar, confounded at finding it not fully lit. He raised a hand for his footman to come light it once more.
"I apologize. These are not of the finest quality, being over a year old."
Bingley shrugged. It had been ages since he had an evening with no women about and the ability to relax and enjoy a cigar and drink a brandy. It's a Herculean task to be an army colonel's wife. "How has Mrs. Fitzwilliam borne the separation?"
"Unbeknownst to me, their romance carried on for years."
Darcy chuckled, remembering his shock when Richard came forward about his plans to wed their cousin Anne right from under their aunt's pointy nose. Letters, a few visits per year, where no one deigned to chaperone because all expectations were that Anne would marry me. So, I believe the trial is fatiguing, but nothing the two of them haven't trained at for some time. Bingley laughed at Darcy's allusion to military work and finished his cigar, finding that Darcy had abandoned his to the ash bucket. Clapping his hands on his knees, Bingley remained jovial as he prepared to press his point. "Do you see now, old man, what I was talking about? She is most heartbroken over you and thought all this time you never came back because you married Anne. I do not understand why Elizabeth would think such a thing. Did Caroline tell tales? Or how did this misunderstanding come about?
Beats me. All I know is from Jane, and she says Elizabeth still never told her all.
Lady Catherine de Bourgh visited and talked to Elizabeth out in the garden a few days after you left."
"My aunt?" Darcy groaned. "Why ever did she come to Hertfordshire?"
Bingley frowned with distaste in his mouth. "That toad of a cousin of theirs, her parson, he started rumors you and Elizabeth were soon to be engaged. Flashbacks of Elizabeth telling him he was the last man on earth she could be prevailed upon to marry spun in his mind, but Darcy ignored them. He thought of the times he called on the parsonage, walked with Elizabeth, caught the knowing glare of Mrs. Collins. Of course, that idiot Collins would hear or notice and run straight to his patroness. How had he not known that Lady Catherine visited Hertfordshire? He only left Bingley's side at his cousin's express. Perhaps Richard and Anne's nuptials were all hastened by Lady Catherine rampaging about Anne and Darcy marrying. He tried to remember what excuse Anne had given for her mother's absence at the house, which was unusual, but at the time, Darcy thought Anne had managed to trick her mother in order to get married by special license. Darcy took a deep gulp of his brandy and motioned for more. All this time she cared for me, and I failed her. Darcy's voice was a register above a whisper. Bingley took a deep breath and stood, offering a hand to his despondent friend. "I should have written you, implored you to visit." Darcy shrugged. "I wouldn't have been able to decipher the message." Bingley laughed hollowly, a little aggravated at the continued jokes about his poor penmanship. "Still, I am as much to blame.
I was not a good friend." The question of whether Bingley perhaps held back as punishment for Darcy's own meddling to separate him from Jane went unspoken. Though Darcy wondered if there might be a connection, in the end his heart told him the unalienable truth. Elizabeth Bennet had loved him all this time, and he had abandoned her.
"She must hate me."
Bingley started to laugh despite Darcy's serious tone. "Why do you laugh? I grew too cowardly to endure her potential censure. I convinced myself she could never love me, and would only agree to marry as a result of my assistance with her sister. I have been an utter fool, and I do not deserve her." Bingley was doubled over in laughter, and Darcy was not amused. Soon, Bingley calmed himself and was able to speak. "The great Fitzwilliam Darcy is a mere mortal, and now has to woo a woman without his arts and allurements of $10,000 a year.
Darcy gritted his teeth and walked towards the door. Bingley was right. Without the incentive of his position or property, Darcy had never learned to offer a lady much else. But he was certain of one thing. The first objective before him was to gain the lady's forgiveness. In the drawing room, unofficial battle lines were set, and Caroline Bingley found herself without many allies. She tried to speak to Georgiana, but almost the second they stepped foot into the room, the younger girl hastened to the pianoforte. Jane and Anne sat at a settee for two, discussing the coming Bingley baby, which made Caroline roll her eyes. To Caroline Bingley, this house party was so dull as to be an affront, and she lamented turning down an invitation from her sister Louisa to spend Christmas with the Hursts. The temptation of Pemberley and Mr. Darcy had been too much to resist. She remembered and took comfort in the conversation she overheard between her brother and Darcy, and found a book on the far table. Mr. Darcy admired women who read, and Caroline picked up A History of Battles in Britannia and pretended to be engrossed. Elizabeth entered the drawing room ahead of the gentlemen, to her relief. As Georgiana waved her over, she joined her friend at the pianoforte, sheet music in hand. Caroline looked over her book in jealousy and sighed. She turned back to the words on the page until her eyes crossed, wondering who on earth could have been reading such a dry recounting of military history. She flicked her attention to Mrs. Fitzwilliam, surprised to see her approaching the piano. Continuing to pretend at reading, but more interested in the conversations at the instrument, Caroline made a production of stretching and setting her book down. Rising to walk towards her sister-in-law Jane, she passed the piano to spy what was being said in hushed tones. "But I swear to you, William has been miserable not being able to return to Hertfordshire. It was all my fault." Anne glanced at Caroline and stopped talking at once. With no choice but to continue her trek to the settee, she was bubbling over inside that Mr. Darcy had pined for her all this time. Feeling elated, Miss Bingley managed to start polite conversation with Jane about her health. The gentlemen rejoined the ladies, and Caroline stood up to give her seat to her brother. "Charles here, sit by dear Jane. I have a book I'm dying to continue." She gave Mr. Darcy a simpering look and walked with her shoulders as far back as they would go to accentuate her assets and return to the other side of the room. Mr. Darcy stared at Caroline's odd behavior before taking a seat in the wing-back chair near the fire. "Miss Bingley, I rather wonder if you wouldn't mind returning the book I was reading. I believe it's the one in your hands." Anne smiled with charm, daring the cantankerous woman to disagree.
"Oh, how thoughtless of me. I should have realized. Mr. Darcy, might you assist me in finding a book in your library? I have a particular author I would care to read, but I'm afraid I might become lost with so many shelves to peruse." Frowning, Mr. Darcy agreed to escort Miss Bingley to the library, making sure a footman came with them. As the song ended behind him, he heard Elizabeth say she wished to retire. He never had a chance to speak with her as Caroline's claws were soon deep into his arm and dragging him down the hall. He tried to cast a glance backward, but Caroline began to speak. "Tell me, Mr. Darcy, who are your favorite authors?" Darcy turned to look ahead as the footman carried a light through the dim hall. "Shakespeare, Miss Bingley. I enjoy his tragedies,